Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and
6-1 since that matters.
And what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Yo, what's good, guys? This is Nigel Sylvester. You can catch me on this week's episode of Kicks and Shit.
What's good, everybody? It's your boy Gerard, your girl Gabby, back. Episode 49. Bam, bam, 49. Bam, bam. Quick one today.
Yeah. That's quick. And I tried to harmonize with 49. I don't know if it worked. Sorry to everyone who was not feeling that vibe, but not really that
sorry. We'll see how it goes. Sorry, not sorry. Gabby, what is happening in those streets?
I'm going to show you what's happening in the streets, Gerard. This is like the most skin I think I've ever showed on this show, by the way, guys. Oh, I'm showing some wrists.
That is a vaccination tag.
It is. I've been tagged. I feel like it's the Hunger Games. I had to get vaxxed. I will say, I know everybody has had their own reaction. I'm doing the Pfizer variety. You know, shouts to Pfizer. And shouts to Hoboken. But let me tell you, I feel fantastic.
You're high.
I am rolling with the homies. Like, rolling with the homies.
Hugh, drop that in. Clueless, rolling with the homies. Brittany Murphy.
Copyright infringement, I think. We might not be. But, you know, you got the Gabby motherfucking remix here. So, you're welcome. I don't know. It's very weird getting this vaccine. I think anything that offers you free donuts for a year upon completion, to me, seems like a little bit of a conflicting message. But, you know, I'm here. I went to a Knicks game this past week.
You sure did.
The streak. I don't know if you've noticed, the Knicks have not lost since I have been back at the Garden.
Listen, so. You're on that good luck charm. I'm loving what you're doing. But real talk, I am happy that you did in fact get vaccinated. I'm in the middle of my process as well. Look, the quicker that more and more people do it, the better we will all be in the long run. So that's a little PSA. But happy that your Knicks are doing well. You know, listen, we get about 4 weeks about until the playoffs start, and you're hovering, right? I mean, you're going to be in the play-in, right? Because you're below the sixth seed. But this is meaningful basketball in New York City for Knicks fans. I mean, obviously the Nets are obviously clearly entrenched up at the top of the standings, but this is exciting. So I'm happy for you, Knicks fans. You know, you're going to have a little fun this spring, early summer, catching some hoops. And, you know, everybody getting vaccinated. What a time to be alive.
What a time. I mean, Gerard, what a time. Sorry, guys. I don't know. I don't know if you've heard about this side effect, though. Like, so this was very new for me. I was going in. And let me tell you about the process. For those who have not been vaxxed yet, I want to know, Gerard, if this was the same journey that you went on, that I went on in Jersey. First of all, I get there and it's very well organized, right? I see the white tent outside, which anything that's in a white tent kind of creeps me out unless it's a wedding or a bar mitzvah, you know.
Or a bat mitzvah. But, shouts to, you know.
Bar mitzvah, absolutely. Shouts to the motherland, to my people. But you get inside and then they give you a number and you sit in one of the numbered chairs. First of all, I think it's funny that there's no sanitizing of the chairs. So just like, I don't know, like whoever is on this line can sit in the chair. Then you go to another room. And then you go in another line and then you fill out some paperwork, super easy. Then they go to another line and you wait on a line. You can maybe get a little snack, a little drink. Then you go to another line. I'm at fucking Six Flags when I'm trying to go here. It's like, how many rooms are they going to take me in until I get the shot? Right. And I will say, my girl Maria took care of me today and we both had the same birthday. So I was like, shit's gonna get real. I can't wait. And I was like prepared for the worst. Everyone's like, loosen up the arm, you know, like I'm getting ready, like I'm like the backup relief pitcher for the Mets, been stretching out all day, no headaches. But let me tell you, the brain fog is real. One of my coworkers at my like normal ditty was like, this is the most relaxed I've ever seen you. And I was like, I don't think relaxed is the correct word that you're looking for. Love this journey for me. You know what I'm saying?
Note to self, give Gabby drugs to get her to be more relaxed. No, look, I mean, here's what's so funny. Here's what's so funny about this. And again, I don't want this to be a PSA about whatever, but like, guys, vaccines have existed for like 100 years. Like, if you've ever gone to school in the United States, if you ever traveled to certain parts of the world, you have to have vaccines. Like, I don't understand, like, what the whole, like, oh my God, what is this? Like, it's some new fango deck. It's not new. We've been doing this forever.
It's true. I think this one's just a little bit different because it's a weird time and, you know, social media. Now, I don't think in the age of the polio vaccine, we didn't have Twitter with people
I'm glad you went there because that is the area where people are having a disconnect, right? Think about it. When we were young in science and we learned about how to run a science experiment, what do we start with first? A hypothesis, right? Okay. I think X, Y, and Z is true. It may not be. Let's go on some experiments to see if it is or isn't. Well, guess what? If the experiments I run do not validate my hypothesis, what does that mean? I got to go back to the drawing board with a new hypothesis, right? It's the same thing with vaccines. And I think it's that sort of like, oh, but they started here. I'm like, yeah, because that's how science works, dummies. Like, here's my idea. I start with this. Ooh, don't think that works. Let's try again. This is how it works. But to your point, back when the polio vaccine came out, we didn't have that everyday access into knowing, okay, at month 2, they figured this out. At month 4, it was just one day, it's here, and it works, right? You didn't get the step-by-step.
You have to tell your friends, that's about it. Like, I also think it's funny, right? Because it's like, when did we all turn into doctors and scientists? Like, I might have mixed feelings about the vax, and maybe we'll save that for the after show, the non-existent after show, but... at the end of the day, like, I care about the greater good and, you know, I want to be around family and people. And I think, like, the way that things are heading, like, I would love to get on an airplane and, like, feel cool and not be, like, next to some girl picking her nose in a crop top being like, is this how it ends for me? Like,
is this how it ends for me?
Yeah. You know what I mean? I think, like, it's just funny to me that everybody has such a strong opinion. Like, I expect nothing less of America that all of a sudden they're like, did you know about this? Did you know about that? I'm like, did you know that you are a dentist? Or, you know, maybe you work at Starbucks. So it's like when everyone, like during election time, everyone becomes a politician. Everybody just relax. Like, there's a reason that they do what they do and we do what we do. I don't want anyone coming telling me that, like, you know, we're not talking about the science of the vaccine on this show, you know, but Dr. Fauci ain't talking about the details on sneakers either. So let's manage expectations here, fam.
I just believe in science. That's all I'll say. I believe in science. So anyway, moving on, there have been, as there always is, the calendars flooded with all types of sneaker releases. You sent me an Instagram DM today about a pair of Jordan 11s that you thought, like, Gerard, these are right up your alley. And I gave you a sort of a mixed sort of like, enlighten the people on the Jordan 11 lows that you thought were right up my alley.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to even take a step back for a minute in those Jordan 11 lows. Because I feel like you and I, we send each other pictures of sneakers all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think lately, our just radar has been off. Like, there was a pair of pink sneakers that you tagged me and being like, Gabby's going to hate these. And I'm like,
actually
they're not totally trash. Okay. Yeah. And then I sent you the 11 Legend Blue lows, mm-hmm. you know? I was like, this is so on brand for Gerard. Carolina Blue, the Icy Soul, all white, patent leather, so you don't have to worry about it getting as dirty, fresh as fuck. And Gerard was like, eh. I'm like, all right, well,
you're like,
rude. Rude. But it's okay, you know, this is America, we are entitled to.
We have been slightly off on our sneak, because you know what? Tastes change over time, right? It's like, those are quite nice. But I've been thinking more and more about 11s. And it's just more like, all right, if I want to add another 11 to the collection, what kind do I want to add? And you know, I really want them 11 lows.
Concord low.
Yes, mm-hmm. I really want those. So it's when you look at it like, all right, because am I going to wear the other ones, right? Because we always talk about wear, dead stock versus live stock. Am I ever going to wear, I mean, not ever, but like how often will I wear those? Whereas like I can see all the stuff in the Concord Lowe's, right? I'm like, oh no, I know this one, this one, this one, this one. So, you know, it's just, we got to get back on our sneaker vibe of like what the other person likes.
We'll get there. Have I ever told you my story of what happened to me in my Concords?
No.
I'd like to call this tale, and I'll keep it quick, Flight of the Concords. All right.
I'm done with you.
So, like, you know, basketball sneakers don't always have the best grip, which is fine. They, like, you know, they're meant to have, like, a little bit of slide on the court, like, enough, like, elasticity and grip that, like, you can move, but you're not going to get stuck, right, in a way that other shoes have that kind of tact in them. Let me tell you, outside of Madison Square Garden, it's a beautiful, beautiful place.
The world's most famous
arena. Not when it is winter and black ice covers, not just covers the sidewalk. So I thought I was being responsible. And I was like, you know what? Let me walk on like the subway grates instead, like the little grates, which are normally terrifying. But I'm like, you know what? I see a giant patch of black ice and I was trying to be cautious. And let me tell you, wrong move. That was the worst thing I could have done. I fell, Gerard, in a way that was like Mario Kart meets banana peel, in a way that, like, I'm surprised more people weren't like, oh my God, are you okay? Feet over my head.
Okay, I was like, did you actually, like, okay.
From underneath me, flying in the air in slow motion. And in my head, I'm like, no, not my sneakers, is all I could think. And there's like a little bit of a scuff on them that I can't get out to this day, but I feel like it's a battle scar.
It is.
Because, you know, big tree fall hard.
Shouts to Wedding Crashers.
I appreciate that one.
Shouts to Wedding Crashers. And Bradley Cooper. Look, but what pair of kicks do you think would be fine on black eyes? Like, really, like, real talk. Probably none, right?
I'm going to show you what I think will be fine on black eyes, because I got a pickup that I'm really excited about, because I wanted a pair in a certain colorway, and I'm not sure of the exact colorway, for a long time. And I'm just sitting here holding them like it's Christmas morning on my lap, because I'm so excited to show you.
Can't wait to see.
And I can feel the grip.
Oh, little Reebok. Shouts to AI.
You know the answer. I got the question.
I was going to say, shouts to AI. Let me see let me see the soles. See, you think that would be okay on black ice?
I'm touching it, Gerard. I can barely slide my silky smooth hands down this sole. Sorry, I'm having a nice little moment.
I see that.
Hey, Bill.
Wow.
Channeling Sean Crawford, guest from earlier this year.
Yes. Yeah, it's just tough, man. Black ice, it's like, man, I don't know. Like, you touch down, it's like anything could happen. See, but now you know why my whole feeling about sneakers in inclement weather. It's because, you know, we...
It was a sunny day, Gerard. It is not inclement weather, okay? I also normally, when it's inclement weather, I wear my Lunar Force Ones
because
the duck boots are fire. They have enough grip.
I like it.
Lesson learned, my friends.
I like it. So we had last weekend a lot of, well, you already have a pair of Toros, but they dropped last week, and a lot of people were trying to claim W's, L's. I didn't go for them.
Who's claiming an L, Gerard? Who is claiming an L?
Lots of people claim L's.
On purpose.
Oh, I mean.
I thought you said people are trying to claim.
Oh, no. I mean, they just put it out there because they took L's.
Yeah.
Anyone in your immediate circle, obviously I didn't try to get them, that took a W for the Toros?
I do have a few people that took a W. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. One of my female sneakerhead friends. It was one of her first W's ever on sneakers app. So
shouts
to you, girl. And you know I love a good Toro. The Toro Bravo 4s are like one of my favorite. I mean, I think those are like my personal grails.
They're dope. I like them a lot because they match with so many things, and just like that red is so striking. And like you put them on, and people, I was gonna say, people know that you're like, oh. Okay, I see you.
So that's kind of how I feel about the up-tempos that are dropping. I love it in that like Chicago bread colorway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, normally that's not my style. I like some of the colorways that come out. I just haven't had a pair of those. So I might have to make a play for those.
Shouts to Air up-tempos. A little bulky for my taste, but they are, I mean, one of the great shoes from back in the 90s that people, I mean, that's one of the jams. People love those. I'm very curious to see Because that bread colorway is always extremely popular, no matter what shoe you
I'm
get.
I'm taking
Lisa.
I already know.
Oh, I was going to say, I wonder how many people will actually take... We'd have to ask Nike the numbers. I bet that when a bread colorway gets released of any shoe, the play for them, if I were to make a guess, increases maybe twice as much off of any other colorway.
Yeah, I mean, it's classic, right? And it makes a statement. I think there's also the difference between the bread and the Toro, like... The balance of the red, black, and white on those, I just think is really beautiful. I mean, I also always take L's, so I'm pretty used to that. except for when I, like, low-key don't try, but, you know, I'm putting out a little feeler. But those, I think, are one of my favorite pairs that I think I'm hoping a lot of people sleep on those so your girl can get a chance to get a pair.
I have a feeling people will sleep on them, so I'm sending good mojo your way. Folks, someone who in their life has not taken many L's, who really carved a path for themselves and, I mean, is a superstar in the world of sport, action sport. He's connected to one of our favorite brand in Nike. I'm really excited for you guys to check out who our guest is. So stay tuned. What's good, y'all? We are back. And Gabby, we're not alone. We are joined by BMX biker, sneaker lover, New York City guy, Nigel Sylvester. Nigel, what's up, man?
I'm chilling. How you doing, bro?
Can't complain. So first, right off the bat, I mean, you're a New York guy. Like, you're from Queens. Like, talk about the vibe and growing up, sort of getting into BMX and biking, like being a Queens kid.
For sure, man. Growing up in Queens, bro, like, we rode bikes all the time, just as kids, as a mode of transportation, as a source of fun. Having a dope bike was the thing, you know what I mean? Like, back at that point in time, whether you had a GT or a Mongoose,
mm-hmm. or a special, Mongoose.
Any one of those things, like, that was a cool bike to have. And it was, you know, it was just, like, the dope thing to do. So growing up around that, I've always... had an obsession, a love for bike riding. You know, like, it was the one thing out of all the sports, out of all the activities that I played or that I participated in, there was something about, like, bike riding that I just loved and I just couldn't get enough of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no doubt. And it's interesting, though, because I totally remember the Mongoose phase, and that was, I mean, those were all the things, but sort of in terms of you becoming, you know, professional and doing that as a career and a way to earn money, there weren't a lot of sort of paths and people that looked like you to look up to, right? Like, so how did you decide, all right, I'm going to create some content around what I like to do here and turn that into an opportunity, right? Because there really wasn't all right, here are the 35 black BMX riders that I can try to be like. It was like, I'm just going to do something because I like doing this thing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was a bit outlandish at the time. it was quite bold of me to even have that thought, to have that idea in my mind. But to me, like, once I seen that it was possible, when I say seen, like, I would open a magazine, I would go to the local bodega and buy a BMX Plus magazine, I would open it up and I would see these guys around the world, like, riding and being sponsored and, like, telling their story. Or during the summertime, the few different programs that I would catch on TV, and I'm, like, watching dudes like Dave Merritt and Matt Hoffman, Ryan Nyquist, on the BMX level. And then beyond that, there were skaters, there were snowboarders, there were motocross guys, you know, Jeremy McGrath and Twitch and Deegan and, like, all these guys who were, like, just on two wheels killing it. It's like, man, like, none of these guys look like me and they're not from where I'm from, but something in me was like, if I apply myself and, like, I work hard enough and hopefully figure it out, maybe I can, like, get in somehow and, like, ride my bicycle professionally. And it was a mixture of a lot of different things. You know, we look at a lot of different success stories throughout time, And it wasn't just one thing. It was that person having that mentality that I will not lose, I'm gonna figure it out mentality, applying themselves and being ready for the moment. Cause that's a big part of it too, right? It's like, you could want something, but if you don't work as hard as you possibly can, day in and day out, like your moment can be right in front of you. You wouldn't even know how to capitalize on it. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't even know how to like reach out and grab it mm-hmm. because you weren't prepared for it. So it was that too. And beyond all of it, it was God. You know what I mean? I really believe that this is my calling, and like God put all these things in my life, put the right people in my life and right opportunities in front of me and prepared me for it. And
yeah.
Once I understood what was required of me to achieve my like goal and achieve my dream, there was no telling me any different, you know? And there was definitely times where I questioned it, like, well, am I doing the right thing? And prior to achieving any level of success in it, I definitely questioned it, because coming up in a predominantly Black neighborhood where there weren't any individuals or people, female, male, whatever, that pursued a professional career in action sports for me to even look at or even talk to or reach out to. There were definitely times like, man, like what's, but again, like it was just something in me that I couldn't resist. Like it was really and truly a calling.
Yeah. I want to tap into that. Like how, cause again, growing up in a predominantly Black neighborhood, I mean, you know what the vibe is, right? From your friends and from the people that are out there, and they're like, yo, Najah, what you doing, man? Like, I mean, were you getting a lot of naysayers being like, dog, like, nah, this ain't it. Like, I don't know what you're on, but this ain't the path for you, homie. Like, what, were you having any of that? And, or did you just block it all out? And you're like, nah, this is what I'm going for.
I mean, of course there was a lot of that, right? But it wasn't because people didn't like what I was doing. And it took me a while to realize that. As a young man, you're like, man, like how come everyone kind of hating on me or like putting me down, right? And as I developed as a man, as a human being, as an athlete, as a businessman, someone who's, I've traveled the world and I've been very fortunate enough to like experience a lot of different things. I understand it was a matter of circumstance, right? So people did have things to say, or they would call me certain names, or like they would reference me in certain ways, and I'm giving like a PC version right now.
you can keep it all the way, Hunter. We're all good on here.
We have shit in our name.
Not because you know why too? Because these are still my people.
Yeah.
And like I go back to my neighborhood now, and so many people showed up. You know, I think at the point in time when I was 15, 16 years old, and I'm riding my bicycle around in the way that I'm riding it around, and when I say that, yeah, like everyone in the hood would want a dope bike or have a dope bike, pop some willies, and that was a time and a moment. But when I say I'm riding around, me and my homies, like we're riding around, we're jumping downstairs, we're falling on the floor, we're like going really, really fast, faster mm-hmm. than most kids ride their bikes. And we're doing all the extreme things. That's the name of the sport. It's action mm-hmm. sports, it's extreme sports. We're doing all the extreme things. So at that level, it just wasn't, it wasn't common. It wasn't something that people knew or looked at as a career path or as a way out the hood. Because when we seen it on TV, when I say we, my neighborhood and kids from my neighborhood, we seen it on TV and it was a predominantly white sports. We're like, that's just not for us. That's just not the vibe for us. But it was a matter of we weren't exposed to it mm-hmm. in the same exact way. Something along the lines, like again, that just clicked in my mind and I just couldn't deviate off of that path. I was like, this is for me. And I like stuck with it. But yeah, they were definitely like moments, and there was like certain plight that I had to deal with being a Black kid pursuing a quote unquote predominantly white sport at that point in time. But now looking back at it, I understand why, you know what I mean? And again, like I said, like I go back to my hood now and there's so much love, and I see young kids riding bikes and people understanding now what it was that I was pursuing. And that goes into a lot of things that, like, when someone's pursuing a dream or an idea or a goal that is a bit lofty, a bit out there, that a lot of people are like, how the hell are you going to accomplish that? Because the path isn't, it's never clear. It's always you have to do this to get there. So I get why it was what it was.
And I think before I let Gabby jump in, I think what was important there for you in the moment when you're doing it, I don't think anyone realizes, right? Because everyone just sees the end goal as this super unattainable thing that's so far away. And obviously with the success that you've had, you talk about maturing as a man, as a human, what we all do on our journey is realize it ain't the end goal. It's the journey to get there, right? That's what you realize is the thing that matters, right? It's these steps, and that journey is continuous, right? Because success isn't a defined point. It's not like, all right, end game, I'm here. It continually moves. And I think that's the place where you're at. And that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is, man. It is. And there's so much in that journey, man. I look at it now and I'm like, man, there's so much more I want to do. You know, and I'm constantly pushing and spitting ideas out and thinking about things and wanting to accomplish different goals and like dreams of mine. But yeah, man, like I appreciate the journey. I appreciate my experiences thus far.
I love that. I mean, the first thing Gerard's going to at me for this one, but when you said mongoose, I was like, I had a mongoose when I grew up. So that give me a little street cred.
Why is that note not surprising? Not surprising in the least.
I'm not really like a pink huffy kind of girl. Shocking thing. Literally nobody. But I think like you talked about something really interesting, right? About how the path is kind of like wavy, right?
Yep.
And what that looks like going from like riding your bike in your neighborhood to taking it to the next level. Like, how did you kind of navigate that and figure out those steps? I mean, I think that's a lot for someone who's like 15, 16 to really get into and figure out. So like, what did that look like for you?
Yeah. It was a step-by-step situation, right? So I applied myself in every way possible to get to that first door, open the door and walk through it. And once I walked through that door, then this whole world opened up. And I feel like that's what it is. Like as you like go up a set of stairs, like your view on what you're looking at, it increases. Like you start to see more and more, you start to understand more and more. As you climb a set of stairs, you climb a mountain or anything, you're going upwards, I feel you start to see more and more. So that's what it was to me. It was like, as I continued to like level up, I was able to see more, understand more, be exposed to more, and be a sponge in those moments when I needed to be to really absorb all that information, you know, whether it was through a conversation, watching a film, reading a book, just being in a certain meeting, every single thing, every person I spoke to, I looked at it as an opportunity to either learn something that I can apply or identify something that I don't ever want to be, you know. And I'm still doing that now in my career. And I feel it's super important for anyone on their grind or anyone trying to accomplish a goal or an idea, dream, whatever it is, that you, like when you interact with a person, a thing, whatever, that you take what you need and leave what you don't. Not everything is for everyone, you know?
I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so funny you talk about knowing what you want and knowing what you don't want. Like that is, again, part of that process of learning and growing as an individual, right? Like it could be one thing, like I got this ultimate goal, I'm going to be a BMX biker. And it's like, okay, but there are so many things within there, right? How do you recognize when a door opened, what is an opportunity for me? And also, you know, when you're looking at things, how do you recognize that this isn't an actual opportunity, right? So some of that too is just being aware. And as much as you can prepare and plan, you need, whether it's, depending on, you know, what your belief value system is, whether you believe in faith and religion and God, whether it's luck, whatever, you need some things to kind of just fall in line for you sometimes, because it's too hard to make it in any place in this world without a little bit of that fortune. And for you, obviously it's faith. Like how important was that for you when you said set out on this journey?
For sure. I had to be, and everything you said makes so much sense. And I had to be hyper focused. I had to be hyper focused at all times. I also had an amazing foundation. And when I say that, it's my family and friends around me. You know, there were so many things that I witnessed and were exposed to as a child. And as a young man that would later pay dividends in my career and in my journey. I think of just like the things that my mother taught me directly and indirectly. Same thing with my brother and my pops. Like all the experiences that they were going through, good, bad, whatever. Me being the youngest one in the house and always looking up to them and seeing what they were going through, I was able to say, you know what? I want to do that. I don't want to do that. I'm going to, you know, and as my career developed, I was able to pull from those lessons and apply them later on in life. So I would definitely like credit my family and my friends for first and foremost, like the way that my parents and my family raised me, you know, charity starts at home, being thankful, hard work, dedication, all those things that sound cliche, but they're so true. You know what I mean? Like it's all about how you apply those things, you know, like hard work for me may be different than hard work for you guys, or what you guys look at being dedicated to something is different for me, but it's whatever works for you. Cause again, everything is different for everyone. Everyone needs to apply their experiences to their path differently. But that's why I credit a lot of it too. It's just being able to take those lessons I learned as a kid and apply them as a teenager, as a young man, now as an adult, you know?
Absolutely. I think there's so much of that about like surrounding yourself with the right tribe of people, no matter what it is that you're doing. And, you know, to quote the great poet Gerard Hector, the work continues, you know? So I think like, you know, what has been the most satisfying part? Like, I know you've gotten to do some really cool shit over the years and be at some cool places and see some amazing places and events and people and all that good stuff. What has been the moment that you've been like, damn, this is really fucking cool. I feel like I made it.
I mean, like, all of it, right? All of it, right? Okay. So, like, there isn't one moment that trumps another moment. You know, like, it's usually those times when I'm sitting on a plane and I'm flying somewhere and I'm, like, looking out the window and I'm seeing the clouds and, you know what I mean, like, sun setting or sun's rising, depending on what part of the world I'm coming from. And I just take a step back and I'm just like, man, like I'm actually here. You know, like I'm actually where I set out to be. Like the other day I was doing this campaign for Oakley. We shot this Oakley campaign for one of the new baseball players that signed to the brand. And I've been signed to Oakley for, this would be my second year. And the campaign was based around Queens natives. And one of the new athletes signed to the Mets. And I brought the crew back to Laurelton, where I'm from, and we shot these photos on the corner of 229 America, which is three blocks from where I grew up. And as I'm there shooting, people are driving by, beeping their horns, Nigel, what's up? Yo, people are walking up, and it's so crazy. I'm like, man, like I grew up in this exact spot, riding my bike with this dream of doing what I'm actually doing right now in the moment. And it's times like that where I'm on this photo shoot and we're shooting time crunch. You guys know how it is. It's working against the clock, working against sunset. You're shooting outside. But it's moments like that where I take a step back and be like, man, like I actually accomplished what I set out to do. And I'm doing it in the same exact place that I thought of these things. You know, I would ride up and down Merrick Boulevard and like, man, like I'm going to turn this bike into whatever it is that I'm gonna turn it into, whatever these goals and ideas and these dreams that I had at that point in time. So it's moments like that where I do take a moment to appreciate it, but at that same time, I'm also that much more motivated. I'm like, if I made it here, there is no boundary for me. Like there is no there's no ceiling. Like there's no limitation for me. And I turned a bicycle, something that is like super accessible to everyone in the world. Like kids all around the world, people all around the world have access to bicycles. And I was able to take this very accessible mode, probably the most accessible mode of transportation in the world, and live out my imagination. And that's such a beautiful thing to me. And as much as I'm grateful for that and like I appreciate that, I'm also extremely motivated by it because I know that the possibilities are endless.
Damn, man, there's so much in that, Nigel, like for real. So like, one, it's the appreciation of being you. It's very clear just in talking to you right now, you are very cognizant and present and appreciative of the present, right? Where you currently are. However, you still have your eyes on what the future could be. I love the idea about, okay, I got here and I know the sky's the limit. It's the same thing that, I mean, I wouldn't know because I'm not a millionaire, but multimillionaires tell you. The first million is the hardest one to make. After that, right, they got it, right? It's the same kind of idea. Once I've already achieved, I know I can set a goal and do X. All right, I'm bet. Like, I'm good now. Yeah. Now I know I can do all this. You mentioned Oakley. Shameless or gratuitous reach here. Gabby and I are always open to get any free products you want to send our way. So by all means, send.
Thank you.
Listen, you knew
your shot, Gerard.
You knew I was gonna.
I shoot my shot every episode.
You see,
I'm like the thirstiest motherfucker when it comes to.
Hey man, listen. Shoot or shoot. You got to let people know. Hey man, I'm out here. You know, I run. I need some shades to protect myself. So you know, let's talk offline.
Listen, Gabby has my contact. Make sure I get in contact.
You see what I'm saying, Gabby? This is how this game works.
You sure you want me to give out his contact?
I'm gonna give out. I just said you call.
Yeah.
I'll be the mediator. I think that's what it's all.
Yeah.
I love it. I want to talk about. So you mentioned Oakley, but I want to talk about sneakers. Obviously, you've had some collaborations with Nike, you know, the god brand for so many of us who love sneakers. How much of a role did sneakers play in your life growing up, as you were doing your BMX and your bike riding? And then how did that whole love of sneakers or whatever the relationship you had with sneakers then, how did that transition to what you're doing and what you've done with Nike and other brands now?
Wow, I mean, that's such a big question.
It's like, only the big ones here.
Yeah, it's a fucking big question, man. Because, like, and, okay, you think about Nike, like you said, it's like God-tier level of, like, sneaker brand, which they are, you know, like, and you speak about some of the things we just spoke about, hard work, dedication, blind faith, like, after reading Shoe Dog and, like, understanding what it took to build that brand, it was those same exact things. And we still see those lessons and the brand embracing that ethos and embracing that energy to like modern day time. And I'm a kid that grew up on Just Do It. I grew up on Nike, you know what I mean? Like some of my favorite athletes ever of all time. Like I was, during that time, I'm 12, 13, 14 years old when I'm starting to develop this idea of being this world-class professional BMX athlete. I'm seeing these athletes like break boundaries every single day, and I'm watching Nike tell their story. You know, being signed to a shoe brand like Nike was super far out because at that point in time, you're talking about when I'm mid-teenager, like there's no BMX athletes signed to Nike. It doesn't exist, you know? And we touched earlier on that blind faith we spoke earlier on that timing, and just like universe, God, like working like in your favor, and in a sense, like I look at him like, man, like the timing was impeccable. Where when I turned pro, Nike was starting their BMX program, you know. And prior to it happening, like sneakers were huge for me, you know, like getting fresh in the hood was everything. Going to Green Acres Mall, going to the college, Jamaica Avenue, Or at that point in time, for me, like jumping on a train and like going to Soho, not knowing what I would find, you know what I mean? And pulling up in different sneaker stores, whether it was Clientele or Supreme or any of these spots, you know, like Flight Club, to see what they got in there. You know what I mean? There was always a mission for me. I would go pretty far for sneakers, man. I would drive out to certain outlets, like Woodbury Commons, mm-hmm. or the one, all, I forgot the name of it, all the way in Long Island. It's like 72 on like the Southern State, I think it is. But I would go out there searching for different sneaker brands. I just love being fresh. Like growing up in Queens and like going back to school shopping and pulling up to every party, whatever. That was religion in a sense. You know what I'm saying? It was part of, like, it was like a rite of passage. Mm-hmm. So I've always been in love with sneakers, like watching my older brother, like him and his friends get fresh and pull up in dope cars. And like all those things were visuals of mine as I'm riding my bicycle around Jamaica, Queens, around like Laurelton, around Springfield Gardens. And I'm seeing like my older brother and his friends like getting fresh, jeweled up, or dope kicks, Lex Bubbles or 95 Maximus. Like they were really living that life. Like yeah. That was the thing. So I always like had those images and those memories in my mind. And sneakers were a big, big part of that. So being able to fast forward, being able to sign to a brand like Nike was like, wow, like one, I'm about to get all the fresh kicks. You know that. And then two, it's super elite like sneaker brand. And then three, being part of this family, and generations of world class athletes who are at the top of their game, like that was such a stamp for me. It was a huge, huge stamp for me. And it's thus far, it's been everything that I thought it would be. You know, like remember my first time going to campus?
And yeah. Like,
where it's made at. Okay, cool. It's where they cook it up at. Got it. And then sitting in certain boardrooms and learning the business of it, which is another part that I appreciated. You know, like in my household, like business was something that was important, you know, like making a way for yourself, you know. So it was like the first part of it, it was all those different things, you know, like, I mean, like walking through like certain corridors and seeing like all the Jordans like lined up, like, what, this is crazy. Or getting like these big ass boxes of shoes where like UPS would come through and drop like sneakers off. And my mom is like, yo, what is going on right now? You know, she like, couldn't believe it.
You're like, I'm chilling, mom. What you mean? Yeah. This is how it goes.
Let me live, mom.
What it is right now. You know? And being able to like bless my friends with kicks, like that was also super dope. And bless my family, like that was incredible, you know? And then getting a chance to like have input on like certain product, you know, like whether it was a pair of kicks or whether it was a windrunner or whatever, a sweatshirt, getting a chance to have that input, man, it was dream come true, man. It was like, it was legit like a dream come true, man. Like, and I'm super grateful for it. Looking back at it now and still being signed to the brand like this many years later, having multiple collaborations underneath my belt and working on like some like new shit. So it's just an incredible place to be in, and knowing that it like all derived from this idea of wanting to be one of the best BMX riders ever, and like applying myself to that, and like having good people around me that like supported me in those moments, it wasn't always easy. Like the shit is like, it shit was definitely difficult days, you know what I mean? Like dealing with injuries, dealing with things not going right on like the business end, dealing with all those things that happen, that like happens when you're in that type of position.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much there. I mean, sneakers are family, 100%. I love that you talk about it as like the Nike family. We talk a lot on the show about fashion versus function. So like, talk to us more about what those kicks look like for riding specifically. Like, I know obviously growing up in Queens, it's all about the uptowns. And I feel like Air Force Ones are having a moment right now again. I mean, not that they ever went anywhere, but I feel like people are talking about them again as if they are brand new for the first time. But Like, what does that look like in terms of faction versus function? And, like, what are your favorite silhouettes to rock when you're riding?
Yeah, like, it's both for me. Like, it's style and function. And I feel like the kicks that I gravitate towards are a happy medium between that style and function. You know, so when it comes to riding, like, for the past almost 10 years, like, I've ridden in Jordan 1s. So the majority of photos or videos or whatever you see me out riding, 99% of the time, I'm in a pair of Jordan 1s. And the reason being is the silhouette one is slim, so it's not too bulky on my pedal. Outsole grips super well to my pedal. And then three, the fact that high top, I get the ankle support that I need. And then, so like that's on like the functionality side. On the style side, it's just an amazing looking shoe. Yeah. Like, it goes with everything. It's just a beautiful, beautiful shoe. Air Force One is also a shoe that's like one of my favorite shoes to rock. I'm in them all the time and obnoxiously in a pair of all white ones all the time. You know what I mean? But yeah, like I'm also like really falling in love with Barclays, CB94s.
Yeah,
those are crazy. Like love them, comfortable. I probably wouldn't ride in those, but they're definitely like a few times a week. Like I'm in a pair of those for sure, for sure. So those are like the joints that I'm rocking like super heavy right now. I'm trying to think of what else I've been in. I mean, you think about the Jordans, right? Think about the fours, you think about five. Recently rode in a pair of fives. Those felt good. Sixes, of course, like I was riding in sixes for a minute. Again, and just like all really good silhouettes that like both work on like on my pedal because the grip, like my foot to the pedal is super important so I'm not sliding around. Mm-hmm. But then also having that support on my ankle, on my foot. And then of course it has to look good. So probably just as important.
I think I read somewhere, Nigel, that because of the type of because it's more your bicycle style is freestyling, right? Like in what you do, you don't really have brakes on your bike, so you use your sneakers as your brakes. Like how fast do you go through a pair of Jordan 1s when you use them as your brakes?
Man, honestly, like a fresh pair of kicks always feels the best to me. But when you break them in really nice, like those feel good too. But it's depending on like how crazy I'm going. Like there's been times I've just smashed a pair of kicks in a few days.
Wow.
On my bike, like morning and night, I'm just killing them and like they're no longer like useful for me at that point in time. But yeah, like it's just dependent. It just depends on like what I'm doing, man. But thankfully I have an amazing partner that keeps my footwear.
We're going to wrap and transition to America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane, the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. But before we do, when you were out at campus for the first time, like when you saw the buildings and the names of the buildings, you're like, all right, like you talk about levels, right? In order to have your name in one of the buildings at campus, all right, you got to be like, an OG, it, right? It's like the Serena Williams building. Like, it's like, all right, like it's very like, you gotta be a one of one, right? In order to have one of those.
It's right around the corner from the Gabby Rosenthal building.
Exactly. Nah, I mean, like that whole experience is fire, man. And at that point in time, like I got to like bring my bike out there and like ride around campus. And I remember one year in particular. This is early in the Nike 6.0 days. That's when I got signed to Nike. I got signed to Nike 6.0, which was the action sports vertical of the brand. When I got signed, we had did like a couple like on-campus activations where they wanted to introduce the entire company to this new program. And one of my team managers, he dared me to jump into the lake that like runs throughout like the campus. And there was this young kid named Sparrow. I think he was like a surfer or a snowboard, I don't even know, but he was like, I'll do it with you.
And you were and like, young boy, like
jumps on my pegs and like there's this fucking like 3-foot ramp that like goes right into the water and I come booking as fast as I can and like we got, and there's a photo online somewhere, I'm sure you can find it, but we like hit that ramp and we jump into the lake and the lake was like terrible. It was like all types of like nasty lake shit.
Algae, all types of gross stuff in there.
It was gross, man. But I just bring it up because it was just, I just remember like having really good times, like being on campus and just like the Nike brand and the family, like bringing us in as like kids. I was 18 years old, you know, I was a kid, like, you know, coming out of Queens, New York, with this big ass idea and this big ass dream to be one of the best BMX riders of all time. And they embraced me and we've done just that. Like, we have done some incredible things. And again, I'm super appreciative of it. And I'm just thankful, you know what I mean?
Yes, we love it. All right, folks, stay tuned. Coming up next, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. What's good, everybody? We are back. And it is time for America's favorite segment, Shoe and Tell, presented by Another Lane. Listen, y'all know it is the premier digital marketplace for dope kicks. I've been telling you that for months now. You know what it is. Chad, Adina, husband and wife duo, they are doing the thing over there. You want to find some rare pairs of shoes. You want to feature your collection. You want to buy, sell, talk to other like-minded people who love the sneaker game and sneaker culture. This is the spot for you. Now, any Tom, Dick, or Harry, or Jane, Junie, or whatever. I'm trying to think of female names. Can't just decide to join Gabby. I know, whatever. You can't just be like, I'm getting on there. No. That's not how this works. You got to get approved by Chad and Adina themselves because they don't want people that are just really not about the culture on this, right? They don't want people that are just here all about the capitalism and just trying to resell. No. You got to be down for the culture. And they vet you. And if they don't vet you, hey, man.
I feel like.
I don't know what to
double
say.
Double approved today, Gerard. Double approved. Because I'm approved on Another Lane and I had a mongoose.
You see, you are, we already know you're fully approved. Some of you out there, you might not be. So I don't know. But anyway, check out anotherlane.com. Now, Nigel, this is your show. Show us what you got.
Listen, I'm going to just give you guys two of my like daily beaters.
Love it. I love it. Daily beaters. This is my favorite.
That's the best part. That's a little snip of like the back of that.
Listen. We're talking about Jordan 1s and the sneakers are actually riding. So these are actually sneakers that.
Woo!
You know?
Oh, where'd he go? Oh. Listen, the shoe was so crazy.
It was so fire. It burned through the connection, you guys. I mean.
But Gabby, you saw the wear on those, right? Like.
Sorry, guys. I got so excited. I pressed the button.
Listen, I was telling Gabby, we could see that you wear them because I see the wear in them. Like, I could see it.
Oh, no. These actually get worn. Like, so these are actually, like, on my bicycle, on my pedal, like, on a daily basis, two of my favorites, Reds, Royals, like, these stay close by my side. If I'm traveling, one of the two are in the box or in the bag with me. And two of my favorite joints. Again, like, outsole's good because it sticks to my pedal. Slim silhouette, so it's not too bulky on it. And then it's high, so I have the protection on my ankle like that I need. So these are my two favorites. If you don't have any of these, you can holler at. Whoever you gotta holler at.
Holler at Another Lane, y'all.
He said holler at whoever you gotta holler at.
You know what I mean? I see Gabby got some boxes back there.
She got mad Jordan ones back there.
Yeah, there was like two or three pairs back there, you know.
I might have like a little Gabby back there. Yeah. I gotta ask though, like I know like with Dr. Dre and his Air Force Ones, he's like the James Bond of forces, right? Like he's got a whole closet of them and then he throws them out like white tees after he wears them. Are you like that with Jordan 1s? Like, are you surrounded by like a wall of Red and Royal 1s?
No, like not with Jordan 1s, but with the Air Force 1s, yeah. Like okay. I keep pairs on deck for, you know, everyday use.
Because you never know. Let me ask you this question, Nigel. When you're traveling, right, whatever, you're going to LA, you're going international, whatever.
Or Chicago, where it's snowy, Gerard. Why don't we add listen, that to the
we,
list?
No, we've already talked about this. Ain't nobody need to know about that.
Gerard refuses to bring sneakers in the snow just so you have the background.
Yeah, I don't want to do that. See? Yeah, of course. So let me ask you, Nigel, do you check your sneakers, like, under the plane? Or are you like, oh, hell no, these are coming in the cabin with me?
It's dependent, you know. It's always dependent. So a lot of times I put my sneakers in my bike bag. You know, I can put like 2-3 pairs in there. And sometimes, depending on what the vibe is, I may put a pair in my carry-on. If I run out of space in my bike bag, I'll put a pair in my carry-on. And it's also dependent on where I'm going, you know, because sometimes I'm like, listen, God forbid they lose my bag. I want to have at least one pair of joints that I could pull out the carry-on. So it all depends.
It's wild, right? Because I mean, like, I think for me, it probably depends on what shoe it is, right? If it's like, quote unquote, a beater, all right, like, if it goes under the plane and some stuff happens, whatever. And I don't want to disparage any of our lovely TSA workers out there. But, you know, I've traveled enough to know that people's bags come back light sometimes. And I'm going to just leave it at that.
Or not at all.
And then if it's like a, not necessarily a grail, but if it's like, ooh, my 11s or like something. Nah, those coming on the plane in the cabin. They ain't going down below.
I get it. I'm not mad at it. You know, I'm not mad at it. Protect your kicks and rail and wear them as well, you know.
You travel with heat though? Like, that's my thing, right? Like, going to All-Star, I was like, what is fire enough that I can, like, you know, flex a little bit? But, like, not so fire that I'm like,
nah,
sitting like there's something on the wing the entire flight. Like, going to All-Star, the most stressful part for me was checking a bag, because I never check a bag when I travel, but I wanted to be respectful of the different events and brands. Like, I'm not going to show up to a Puma event in Adidas. Correct. Or Nike's to an Adidas event or whatnot, you know. So, you know, your girl has to be packing. But
gotta come correct.
It is stressful.
I mean, yeah, like, you got to bring the heat out, or you just bring multiple pairs of all-white Air Force Ones.
Either bring the heat or multiple pairs of Air Force Ones. Yeah. That's just, that's,
I mean,
how
it's
this
consistent.
Goes.
It's a classic.
So. One of the two, you know what I mean? Like, one of the two are going to work.
You know? I love it. Nigel, man, this has been a good time. We really enjoyed having you on. Tell the people where they can find you.
I'm all over the internet, you know, so you can just Google search bar Nigel Sylvester, or you can ask me on Instagram. You know, I'm not, or you can just find me in the streets. I'll be outside on my bicycle, but I'm not a hard kid to find.
Yo, that's the best. When you're a certain level of famous, it's just like, oh, just Google me. Like, I'm out there. Like, I mean, just Google my name. You'll find everything I got going on.
One of those search engines is going to lead you right to Instagram or YouTube page or a video or article or something like that. You know what I mean?
I love it. Listen, man, we could talk to you for hours. We definitely could talk to you about all the dope brands that you're aligned with and all the free merch we want to cop, because, you know, I'm about that. I'm about that free merch life. Oh, listen, you have to be who you are, Gabby, right? Like, that's just, you can't.
Live your life, Gerard.
Right, like, why I try to pretend that I'm something else? Like, no.
Embrace your real self. It's very important.
Become who you are.
Gerard is not shy of his real self.
But, folks, thanks as always for checking us out. As you know, we are part of the Count the Things family. You can find us on the Bomb Podcast feed, where you find Crazy, Sexy, Cool, the Original Bomb Podcast, Growing Up the Same, Rap Names, Woke Bros, and us. I mean, these are some heavy hitter shows, and we're out there. We're at Kicks and Shit Show across all social media platforms. And until next time, peace.
Later, guys.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.